Lord, we just thank you so much for what you're doing with your people, Lord. It's just a treat. It's an awesome thing to watch people get set free. We had two more get set free today. I'm looking for more tonight. Lord, I just thank you for your grace upon us, Lord, showing us the things that we need to get rid of to get ready for this great happening. And I thank you, Lord, your anointing is going to be upon everybody here tonight. And Lord, I just ask that you be with us, have your angels with us to guard us and help us out, Lord. And I thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us, leads us, gives us the power that we need. And I praise you for all that's accomplished tonight. Lord, it's been a long, it seems like a long road, but I know it hadn't been but just about 2 weeks now, almost 2 weeks, since we began this little walk you've had us on. And it's been an awesome time. Father, I thank you so much for placing it in your people to get free. And Lord, I just ask that you be with us tonight. Help us out, Torn. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Oh, my. The term of telephone off. Okay. Probably wouldn't be a bad thing. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Plug it in, Barry. It generally works better that way.
We'll try to.
There it is. Yeah, I got you then.
Hey, all right. See, you ought to be in the business.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to put my sign out on the shingles tomorrow.
There you go.
Yeah. Technical guru lives here. Amen. All right. Any prayer requests? How about a testimony, for goodness sake? Yeah, Tim, go ahead, brother.
Okay. I'm having technical issues, too. I got a text today from a friend of mine, a guy I used to work with back in Spokane. And he asked if we could pray for his wife. She's been about a year that she hasn't been working. The last summer, her teaching position was abolished, and she decided to take the summer off, figuring she could just go right back into teaching. But apparently, every job she applies for, she's the second choice. And so he sent a nice text today, asked if I had any pull with the man upstairs. And I told him that we would pray for him, but the conditions in the word was that he has to believe with him.
Amen.
So this Wendy Halverson, just pray for her to find a good job here. Lord, you know what Wendy needs. You know what they in order qualifications are. Just pray that you would find her a good job, find it fairly quick, and make it something that we're enrich people's lives, and it'd be a blessing to her, and just work through her to come into the fold here, Lord, and get her a good job and show her your power. But apparently, there's going to be a lot of people coming to us with needs here in the future, and this will be a good training for us. So we'll stand in faith with Chris and Wendy for her to get a good, meaningful job soon. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Obi. Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
Tim, your prayer request reminded me of one. my daughter-in-law, Brooke, she's going, I think it's Monday. Monday's the 10th, I believe, yeah. She's going for an interview for a permanent teaching position. And so she said, you know, a lot of people are telling her that, you know, they think she's got it. You know, it's just a matter of formalities, you know, going through the interview. And she doesn't have to go through the first round. They put her in the second round or something like that. But anyway, so I just wanted to pray that she would get the job. And she's they're trying to start a family, but she doesn't want to get pregnant before they tell her, you know, she's got a permanent position. Otherwise, if she's pregnant, you know, they won't give her a permanent position. But once they give it to her, you know, if she gets pregnant, you know, that's too bad then. But anyway, Father, just ask you for your favor for Brooke, Lord, and that she would get this position, and that she would just know that it's been from you. And I believe she does. She looks to you and she prays to you and believes, believes in you. But Lord, I just ask you to increase her faith and grow her up quickly in you and bring Kurt along. And I thank you for that. And Lord, and when she gets a teaching position, Lord, hey, Lord, we ask for your quick favor, and that she be able to get pregnant shortly after that. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get something done here. Now.
Okay.
Miserably messing up. Go ahead, George.
Wanted to lift up a brother, Mike Smith, out in Arizona, I believe. He's got a real good deliverance ministry out there and helps a lot of people. But his youngest daughter, Tracy, has been in the hospital fighting infection and breathing with one lung right now, and pneumonia and stuff. So just want agreement that she'll live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Father, I thank you for Tracy. I thank you for your love for their family. I thank you that you've given us the ability to span one space and miles and help affect and be close to the body of Christ, Father. So I just reach out and speak life to Tracy right now. I command all pneumonia, all infection to cease and desist and be gone right now in the name of Jesus. I call forth healthy tissue for her lungs and for a vibrant visitation from the Holy Spirit to just wake her up off that bed and let her know that you have touched her and that you have healed her. And Father, I dismiss the plans of the enemy for her and her family. And I thank you for your blood that covers them. I thank you that by your stripes, Tracy was healed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Wade and Jeanette, go ahead.
Yes, I'm praying for increased faith in my life and my wife's life. And my right hand is hurting real bad. I don't know what happened. I just woke up with a hand that hurt. And I have a little runny sinuses right now. I need prayer for a not so dry nose. And if you know anything that I need to be delivered of, I don't see myself quite as well as I should. I should see more that needs to be delivered than I do.
Okay. Well, we command this spirit of infirmity off of Wade right now in the name of Jesus. He's a child of God. You don't have any right there. We command you to go from him right now in Jesus' name, and all the effects of it dry up in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, Wade, what else was it?
My wife wants to, what was it now? Surrender. She wants to surrender. Okay. So that's what she wants. And I need more faith in my life, and then my wife needs more faith.
Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that we can ask and you'll give it to us. I'm asking that you give Wade and Jeanette great and bold faith to believe what the promises say in the Word, and give them the wherewithal to study and meditate on those promises, Lord, to get it in their spirit. And Father, we thank you for doing that for Wade and Jeanette, that when something tries to attack them, that they'll have the bold faith to believe that they can rebuke that devil and command it to go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for giving it, for your grace and your mercy upon Wade and Jeanette to infuse them with great and bold faith in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. The way to get bold faith is to read and study the Word of God. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Okay. Well, what else was it? Surrender? Well, she's going to have to do that herself. I can't do that for her. Amen.
Amen. Okay. If there's anything that we can be delivered of tonight, we'd like to be delivered of it. Anything that shouldn't be there.
Okay. Do you have a list?
No, I don't. I missed Tuesday. I saw Tuesday's letter and tried to think, you know, what I would do on Thursday, because it was already too late for Tuesday.
Here's a way to make the list. Anything that tempts you, okay, put it on the list. That's a demon. That's something that's trying to attack you, okay? Anything that tempts you. All right. If cigarettes tempt you, that's addiction. Or that kind of stuff. You know, anger, all that stuff.
I have a little trouble with appetite.
Yeah. Okay.
Eat more than I should. Okay, thank you.
All right, buddy.
Thank Bless you. You.
I'm being distracted here. Somebody else had their hand up. Who was it? That you, Leon? No? Okay.
I got something to share, Michael.
Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
For prayer, it was our daughter Gloria. A couple months ago, the Lord gave me this. I am plugged in. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The Lord gave me this dream a couple months ago about Gloria. Because I've been really concerned for her anyway, and she's living with our other daughter and her husband downstairs with her boyfriend. And of course, we know that's not what the Lord wants. And so I had this dream about her that she was in a vice. She was being squeezed. And you can see about this much of her. And she was just like leaning over, just like, I can't do nothing. There's nothing I can do about this. And she had this hopeless look on her face. And it was just such a real dream. So I did mention it to my daughter Beulah and said, hey, how's Gloria and John doing? Because I just sense something's not really good there, and she's doing really badly. And she said, oh, I think they're okay, and all that, you know. So, but then we were talking to our son, Judah, the other night, and he was saying, he brought up how she's unhappy. She's unhappy with her life. She doesn't know what to do. She kind of wants out of this relationship. She feels stuck. And, you know, then plus she knows how she's been brought up in the Lord. And I know in the past she's made decisions for the Lord. So I just want to pray for her that I want to pray for her the prayer that what George prayed for Tracy, that she would, but spiritually, she would not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. So I just want to pray for her. So, Lord, just lift up Gloria and pray, God, and just receive agreement from everybody, God, that you do a mighty move in her life and her heart, God. Do convict her, Lord Jesus, of her life apart from you, Father, and living her own way, Lord, and in disobedience to you and your word, Lord. I pray, God, that you would put within her the desire to be freed of this relationship, to free herself, to do what she needs to do, God, to get out of it, Lord. I pray that she would call out to you for help, that she would just turn to you, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray you'd bring her to repentance, Lord. I pray that she would live and not die spiritually, God, and declare your works, Lord God, in her life, Lord, and be a testimony for your name, Lord. So free her now, God. We ask for a mighty move, and we thank you for what you're going to do, Lord, to free Gloria, Father, to live for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we agree with Debbie and Denny. We believe it's so, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, anybody else got a testimony or praise report or would like to pray? Now I'm gonna stand up and put my hands on my hips. As many people got set free the other night, we ain't got no praise reports. Come on now, go with our God. All right, go ahead.
Okay, can you hear me? Can
yeah,
you?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, all righty. I just want to say, you know, I was blessed. I was blessed Monday when Brother Michael and Brother David prayed for me. And I'm just so thankful. I just feel like I did when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just felt like I was really set free and just like tons of weight had been taken off of me. And it just got even better on Tuesday. And I found myself yawning a lot on Tuesday as well. And so I'm just thankful. I am just thankful. I just have way more of an attitude of gratitude and just joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. And I'm just so thankful, very thankful. And I'm happy to be able to give the Lord just all the glory. He's so kind. He's so good. He's so faithful. And he's so forgiving. He's so forgiving. So anyway, that's my testimony. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, that's the way I feel too, man. I'm flying high. I ain't come down yet.
Me either.
All right, anybody else? Okay, Missy.
I don't know quite how to explain this. You know, I feel really good after, you know, all the deliverance and everything too. Okay. When we were doing the deliverance on Tuesday, you know, earlier in the day, I felt a little bit of a headache now and then because I had fasted. All I did was drink water until after the outreach and everything. And during the outreach a little bit, I was feeling a little uncomfortable, you know, at times. And I was just kind of like brushing it off that it was just because of fasting. And I'm just wondering now if that was something that was manifesting or whatever and hadn't completely come out or whatever. I don't know. But because I woke up since the weekend, my shoulder here was like right here in this joint and my shoulder here a little bit was just bothering me a little bit. But yesterday morning when I got up after, the night after the outreach, I woke up with this headache, this horrible headache, and this shoulder really hurt and a lot. And as the day went, my shoulder felt better. But then I had this horrible knot, you know, in my shoulder on this side that was giving me headaches. So I just massaged it out and the headache went away. But I'm just kind of, you know, I'm like, okay, because you were asking, you know, if anybody was having any kind of, you know, pains or anything going through that. And I'm just wondering if maybe I should have spoke up or something. I don't know. But anyway, and there's four things that are kind of, I feel like are kind of loose ends, that I didn't really recognize or wasn't sure about, things that you had gone over, you know, how you went through the list and everything. And there's just four things here that I would like to speak and you pray deliverance. And then I don't know what you think about, you know, the whole headache and the shoulder thing or whatever. I don't know. But I got up this morning and my shoulder only hurt just a tiny bit, but I deliberately didn't lay on that side because it seemed like it was bothering me when I was laying it on that side. But anyway, so I'm just going to say these four things, accusation, suspicion, laziness, and procrastination. I asked the Lord about each one of them, you know, and he gave me a head and a tail for each of them. So I'm not absolutely sure.
I got lazy and procrastination. What was the other two?
Accusation, suspicion, laziness, procrastination.
Accusation what?
Suspicion.
Fishing?
Suspicion. Suspicious? Suspicion.
Suspicion. Okay.
But anyway.
All right, you ready to get delivered?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Father, we just praise you because we know that you have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And I command anything that's left in Mizzy to pay attention. I command you not to hide. I command you not to lie. I command you to come forward and receive what we have for you. Laziness, you get up and go in the name of Jesus. I command you by the power and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you go from missing. In Jesus' name, procrastination, you go. In the name of Jesus, you have to go. You can't stay around. Accusation and suspicion, both of you go in the name of Jesus. I command it by the power and authority of the blood of Jesus that you leave, Missy. with no ill effects. And I command that spirit of infirmity off of her right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. You turn loose of her and go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that Missy is completely free of all these things in Jesus' name. You believe that, Missy?
Amen.
Amen. And me too.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Praise your holy name, Lord.
Fill me up with the Holy Spirit, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Raise your hand because he's going to do it. Lord, we just thank you for filling her up with your Holy Spirit in every one of those spaces that have been vacated by the enemy in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit fill her up so much so that there ain't nothing left in there but your love, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father, for joy and peace and your love in Missy. Thank you, Father. And everybody else that wants it too. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Woohoo. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. Amen. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, anybody else?
Well, I want to share something.
Okay.
I was really delivered from the time with you and David of a lot of this condemnation badly and guilt bad and self-condemnation. And let's see if there's another word. I can't think of it. But just always. It's like, and so then Monday night, and I really felt I received that, but then Monday night the meeting, after someone was sharing a testimony about her mother and things she went through, the same things that were my past, that was things that I had mentioned to you guys, that was guilt upon me so badly, came back real hard on me. This all of a sudden, this strong, it was real heavy, a strong spirit of condemnation and guilt and see, that's what you are. It was coming at me. I couldn't even move. I just couldn't even move. It was so hard and so strong on me. And I just sat there just praying against it, rebuking it. And I was finally able to move. I guess I had to because we were ready to leave. Had to go. But it was the end of the meeting. But I kept praying and believing that and rebuking that and commanding it to go for me. And so the Tuesday night's deliverance, what really got me and helped me so much was when you start praying for these were really bad my whole life too. Insecurity, inadequacy, and inferiority. And when I prayed against those, I felt it so strongly. It was just coming out of my eyes, not crying out loud, crying, but just, it was so strong. I just wept out of my eyes, and I just knew I was delivered of that. And then this morning, I got attacked again during early morning, like 3 o'clock. I would take this something and feeling it like a shaking inside me. I've always dealt with. And I thought that was gone, but it came back, and I was rebuking that, and it got really strong. And as I got up and was waiting, trying to get ready for the go to the meeting this morning, the Lord just. I was praying for it to go and commanded it to go, and the Lord spoke to me to worship me. Just get down and worship me. And so 3 times I had to do that. I just got prostrate on my face on the bathroom floor and on my knees in my bedroom, on my knees in here, and just worship the Lord, and was telling these things, that whatever they were, that you can't be here in the presence of worship. You can't be here in this temple as a worshipful, it worships the Lord. And It left. I haven't felt it all day. I haven't felt it all day. So I thank God for that. And I thank God that you specifically mentioned those 3 that you mentioned the other night. And but even so, for the most part, I've felt really free since the time with you and David. Because I was always just anticipating this fight and this struggle. Here, it's going to come again. I'm waking up. So here it goes, you know, and it's going to be another day of fighting this condemnation and That's gone. I believe that is gone. So let us praise the Lord. And I think the Lord for Tuesday night that finished it off, I think. And then so I just want to encourage everyone to stay and worship, worshiping Jesus. And if you feel anything come on you, like he told me, worship me. So I just encourage you all, worship the Lord right away.
Amen. That's a good idea. That's a good idea just to get in and worship. That's what I was doing before I came on here. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
I just want to say that I really feel freed up from condemnation too. Like big time. That was a biggie on me. Was the condemnation. And yeah, it's like, wow. And it's like when condemnation is on you, it affects so much. I didn't realize, I think, I don't know how to explain it, but it just your outlook on it, I think it affects your outlook on things. You know, it brings depression and stuff too, you know, and it's just, it's amazing. It's just, thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. All right. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, one of the things that I asked for deliverance from was unforgiveness. And at the time, I really didn't have any specific instances in my heart, but I knew that I had issues with it. And last night, I had a phone call from a friend back home that has our old place. And we had one neighbor out there, and that neighbor was just evil. She's just a real difficult person to be around, just mean-spirited and all this. And up till last night, every time I prayed for her, I prayed for fire to come down out of heaven and consume her, to be honest. But last night, I got some news of just another miserable, rotten, despicable thing she'd done. And I got off the phone, and I went outside, and for the first time ever, I sat down and I prayed for her to be delivered from all the oppressing spirits that were binding her up and making her the way she was, and for her family, her sons, and their whole family. And it was a real relief, and I think that was probably the unforgiveness that was hiding in my, I wasn't aware of, but it was, you know, I hadn't forgiven her, and as of yesterday, I believe I have. And it's a real burden off my shoulders just to know that the Lord's in charge, and that, you know, maybe he'll do a work in her one way or the other. But I've done the scriptural thing now, and I've forgiven her. I prayed for her and the family, and we're praying for the best for them. And I just thank the Lord for deliverance from that binding up spirit that was in me.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for you. Freedom. Thank you, Father. Okay. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Morning, everybody. My deliverance on Tuesday afternoon with David and Michael was, I was kind of excited about it when he finished it. I was so glad for most of my stuff I confess to the Lord and pray about it, but it was the first time I confessed some of it to David and Mike kind of thing. It was amazing just to get that weight off me. But Wednesday, the whole day, it's quite a while since I've been that tired. I was yawning the whole day, and it was just very, very tired. But today it's much better. I can feel the weight off my shoulders, and it's looking forward to what's coming next. I'm really blessed. Thank you very much.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Okay. Yeah, Leah.
Can I ask Joe, you were going to go to a dinner with your wife and a couple of friends. How did that go? Would you like to talk about that or no? Or?
Well, he told you last time.
No, it's there's somebody else. No, it was very nice, good dinner, but the subject didn't even surface. It was just normal chit chat.
No problems, huh?
No problems, yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm blessed for you.
Thank you.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Okay. We got one thing to talk about here just a little bit, and that is just what we've been talking about is maintaining what you've got, that freedom that you've got is maintaining it. And just like Debbie was talking about and we've been talking about is to rebuke and to praise. Well, that works good. That really works is praising God for the freedom that you've gotten. And to rebuke that devil when he tries to come on you. Put that armor of God on and rebuke the devil. Now, I have a question that was posed to us here. I don't know, it's been probably a couple of weeks ago, maybe a couple of weeks or so ago. And that question is the goal of a Christian to go to heaven? Is that the goal of a Christian to go to heaven? Denny posed that question a while back. One at a time. Tim just gonna leave. He said, I ain't sticking around for this. Go ahead, Missy.
Hello, Michael?
Yeah, Gano.
Well, it's to bear the fruit of Jesus.
Okay. All right.
Heaven is the bonus.
Well, that's too quick an answer, Gano, now. Come on.
That's my answer. I know when that was mentioned, I said, well, that's what it is. Anyway, I'm sorry I'm so quick, but that and short.
That's fine. But, or the fruit of Jesus, huh?
Right. Well, that's how I see it. That's what we're mainly supposed to do. Bear the fruit of Jesus.
Amen.
And we can only do that if we really know him, if we're in his word and know his word and know him. And amen. That I guess that's the short and sweet of it.
Amen.
Yeah. So
okay, now that poses another question, but we'll get into that later.
Okay.
All right. Is anybody else want to expound on what she said? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew. I'll get you in a minute, Missy.
Well, the goal of Jesus is, the goal is to apprehend that which you were called for, to be a son of God. Bought by the blood of Christ, to live an obeying life to God, our Father, asking Jesus for grace. You know, you got to ask Jesus how to be a son of God. We're adopted. You know, he knows everything about what the Father likes. You know, and he's the one you go to ask. You know, you want to ask. You go to him and
asking, where do I look for this even, you know? I got a concordance here, I can go look there, but you ask him, you know, you confide in him, you know. I don't know if anyone here is adopted, but if you're adopted and you have a big brother, you want to know everything that big brother knows on what the father likes, you know, and that's what I think. It's also to surrender and to take up your cross and follow Jesus, lose your life to gain your life. And mix and match all the things. Your baptism can go right in there with taking up your cross, you know. Yeah. Some people, you know, they don't even know what baptism is all about. You know, there's some churches, they don't really teach it. You know, they baptize babies, but they don't know what it's all about. You know? So they need to know, you know. And, that's just a couple of stuff, you know. There's the bread and the body and blood of Christ, and to be circumcised in heart. And you really have to take up that cross and follow Jesus to lose your life to gain your life. Oh, and by the way, during the deliverances, when he mentioned rejection, I was coughing and coughing like anything. I'm just so glad that came out of me. And I want to make sure now that nothing like that comes back in life. You know, there was a lot mentioned there, and it was mentioned really quickly. So I have to, some of those words he was mentioned, I'd need a dictionary to look them up too. But I'm just claiming it all. And that's what I want. I want Jesus. I want this obedience so much. I want this obedience. God help me. That was part of it too. Part of the answer. For me anyway.
Sometimes it works a lot better. You can hear me when I'm unmuted. It's so good when I do. What I was going to tell, what I was telling you, and I'll repeat it, is the list I got was out of Pigs in the Parlor by Frank Hammond. So if somebody has that book, you can get it out of there. It's just a ready-made list that I saw in Pigs in the Parlor, and I just used it for that. It seemed to work quite well. Yeah, I have a pretty wide vocabulary, Andrew. I noticed that you knew, noticed that. I wish.
Would it be okay just to go and like look it over and review it, like to review that deliverance? And listen to it, because you recorded it.
Absolutely. You're talking about the outreach?
Yeah.
Absolutely. People are doing that. Yeah. Yeah, I've had people email me and tell me they're going to listen to it again. And again, you know, which is good, I think. Because you don't know, you know, every time you listen to it, you'll find something else, and then maybe that has to go, and then you'll, I'm sorry I had to go so fast, but gosh, we're kind of restrained by time. But anyway. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
Well, Gainold pretty much was saying what I was going to say, but my expanded thoughts on that was, you know, to come into the image of Jesus, to be a full-grown son of God, which is a hundredfold fruit of Jesus. And, you know, he was the firstborn among many brothers. You know, God's goal wasn't just to have one son, you know, he wanted many sons. So, and not just, and let's, it's okay, the goal is become that here on the earth, not when you go to heaven. The icing on the cake, the reward is heaven. But you get to go to heaven even if you're not a hundredfold fruit of Jesus. But to me, the ultimate goal is a hundredfold fruit of Jesus. And that has to be manifested here on this earth. And then the reward then also is not just heaven, but our body, the new body we get is according to that fruit that we manifest, right?
Yeah, you have to. What is it, 30-fold?
At least 30-fold, yeah. But
at least 30-fold.
Yeah. Amen. So, and what exactly that means, okay. I think this might have been something that Barbara and Diane and I talked about. Okay, your reward is your glorified body, according to the fruit that you manifest, 30, 60, or 100-fold. But what exactly that looks like or means or whatever in detail or whatever is like,
I'll tell you what I have, I kind of believe is the 30-fold has a part in heaven. The 60-fold has a part in heaven, and the 100-fold has a part in heaven. The 100-fold, of course, is the 100% part of Jesus with the glorified body in heaven. I think there's different areas of heaven, just like there's different areas in hell.
So you don't think that your glorified body is? I don't know.
Your glorified body is your 100%.
Right. Okay, but don't you get you get a new body though, when those who are alive remain, when the Lord comes back and you go to be with Him, you get a new body. And I always thought that that new body was a glorified body, but you're saying the glorified body is the hundredfold fruit body. Is that what you're saying? I don't see.
I ain't saying nothing. I'm keeping my mouth shut. I went, and if you remember, I believe it was Andrew asked the question, what is the hundredfold fruit? And I said it was the glorified body, I think. And then somebody asked another question, and I went down and they said, well, go ask David. Remember just a couple of weeks ago? I went down there and asked David, and I didn't get any kind of satisfaction from his answer, So okay. you go to trying to figure out what's 29 and a half as opposed to 30 up in heaven, or what is 60 as opposed to 30. I believe, and I could be totally, totally wrong, that the 30-fold fruit has a bottom tier in heaven. And then I think the 60-fold fruit has a tier in heaven, and then the 100-fold fruit has another tier in heaven. That's just me thinking, using my little finite mind thinking about it. So I don't know. Leon's got the answer. Go ahead, Leon.
I don't have the answer, but I do have some.
Oh, man.
When Jesus says, the way it's translated, it said that I go into heaven and I prepare a place for you. And most people say it's a mansion. But the actual translation of that is it's an abiding place. That abiding place could be your glorified body. And but I kind of agree with your tier system. I think everybody gets a glorified body.
Yeah, everybody gets the glorified body. And whether that's part of the hundredfold fruit, I don't know.
Yeah, heaven, yeah. glorified body. So you got to be there. But I like your tiered 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold, you know.
Yeah. I remember. Does everybody know who Sajju Sundar Singh was? Everybody heard about him. He was an Indian a holy man, they called him. They called him the Barefoot Prophet. And he had a lot of visions. He had a lot of interactions with angels and actually Jesus too. At the Master's feet was one where he sat at Jesus' feet and asked him a bunch of questions. And but one of them, he had another book he called The Visions or something like that. Visions from something, I don't know. But he talked about asking the people, the saints, he called them, people that had gone on to the Lord, that come down and they help people, spiritually speaking, with the angels, he said. And he was sitting around in a meeting with them, and he was asking them about that, and they were telling him, yeah, that they were, we had a preacher come in, and he was a good guy. They said he was a good guy, but he was a little bit arrogant. And he came in, he was at a lower tier, and then one of his parishioners came in that he knew he wasn't nothing but an old farmer, you know, but he was a humble guy. And he prayed a lot. And he interceded for a lot of folks. And he took the angels took him up to a higher tier. And that preacher got a little bit indignant with the angels. He said, why are you putting him above me? He said, I'm a preacher, you know. That angel said, well, when you learn to be like him, then we'll put you up there in the same place as he is. You know, I'm just kind of paraphrasing what they said. It wasn't exactly like that, but I'm just putting it like he told it. So what the difference is in the tears is, to me, is that holiness part of you, how much of the flesh you've gotten rid of between now and time you die, you know. How much of Jesus you're getting out there. How much Jesus is coming out of you. That's where you get you lose the flesh is when you get that 60-fold. Now, how do you determine where you are between 60 and 100? You know, Barry's got the answer. I know he's got it. No. We're in bated breath here, Barry. You lean forward like he's going to hit the button. He said, I'm going to sit back. Okay. All right. I don't know. You know, that's some of those questions. We'll have to wait and get the answer up there. I just want to be best I can be when I'm down here. One of the other things is Missy kind of hit on it a little bit, and that's to bring heaven on earth, right? That's our job, is to bring heaven on earth. That's another goal that we have. If we want heaven on earth now, we can do that. You know how? By believing and getting rid of the flesh and getting out of the world and our own little sphere of where we walk. You know? Yeah, Andrew.
You know, there's been a prayer where they've been saying that for over 2,000 years now. Thou shalt be on earth as it is in heaven. So we got to believe that prayer.
Amen. I agree. Yeah, Denny. Now, he's been studying it for a long time. He's got the right answer. Go.
Can you hear me? Do I got to pull this? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I could hear you before. Just go ahead, bro.
I don't know. Before, when I had the charger plugged in for the speaker. It cut off our speaking. So I don't know what what we've been taught over the years in the past, that of course the fruitfulness is going to be upon the earth. That's where we live out our fruitfulness. And it was always compared to the three, like three realms of the spirit, which would be Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Someone who is only experienced Passover would be like the Baptist type people, where they don't believe in the baptism of the spirit or anything further than that. They would have one dimension. Because in the Old Testament, it talks about the three feasts, and it seems to be that he's indicating there's something available in each of those feasts. And so Passover would be the 30-fold, Pentecost would be 60-fold, and then Tabernacle is the 100-fold. And most of the studying that we've done in the past have shown that we've had a Passover and Pentecost, but yet we're still seeking and believing for Pentecost, which would be another move of the Spirit. And I think that's where the man-child and all this that we're learning about now. But it's also like, you know, it'd be likened to the outer court would be 30-fold, the holy place 60-fold, the holy of holies 100-fold. It just depends on how far God takes you. You know, you go with God. But that's just, you know, think on that, I guess, because our fruitfulness is born out while on this earth. We live out our fruitfulness, and so 30-fold, you know, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, the three dimensions of fruitfulness.
Okay. All right. Another question. Don't hit the mute button yet.
Okay.
What is in my walk that I'm looking at with my natural eye, my Passover?
Being born again, you know, and applying the blood, that would be your someone who's born again, but they haven't gone on any further than that. Haven't acknowledged that there is a baptism in the Holy Spirit or a Pentecostal experience.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that would be the outer court?
Yes, outer court. It would be there's a lot of things that are in sets of threes in the scriptures, quite a few of them, it seems to match up that if you've had a Passover experience, you've had like the outer court experience, or there's the, you know, the baptism in water, then there's the baptism in the cloud, and there's baptism over the Jordan River, which would be the third realm. That's after the wilderness. But we're going, so someone who was, you know, got saved and had an experience with the Lord with at Passover, then he would be able to be 30-fold fruitful. He obviously couldn't go on to do the things of the Spirit in that other next realm of the 60-fold, because he's not equipped for that. He's equipped for 30-fold fruitfulness, and he has to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to enter that 60-fold, you know, 60-fold realm. But then our goal is the Tabernacles, which would be the 100-fold, and that would be, you know, complete Christ's likeness and, you know, Christ living in us fully.
Okay, now, my little limited knowledge of the Tabernacle and all its works, but I remember from the outer court that some were saved and some weren't saved. Some grab a hold of the horns of the altar, and they were, according to God, they were either saved or they weren't saved. So how do we get by that? You know, when the Gentiles grabbed a hold of the horns in the altar, some of them were, God would have mercy on, some he wouldn't.
I'm not familiar with that.
That's on the outer court, where the horns of the altar were.
I'd go and grab the horns of the altar.
Go ahead, Joe. Maybe Joe got to ask you.
Is that when they were?
Well, I had a question about that. You know, that's interesting because I guess, I mean, I used to think like that as I punch my ticket, you know, as you always say, Michael, punch the clock and I'm good to go. It almost sounds like that as a 30-fold believer. But then it just dawned on me as you were saying that, Denny, it says those who endure to the end shall be saved. You know, we don't believe in once saved, always saved. You know, you got to endure. So I have to wonder, I'm like, I mean, I don't know if this makes sense, you know. I mean, let me know. Or if the 30-fold, it sounds like, okay, they were never baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'm having to wonder how they would endure to the end if they didn't have the power. You know, I mean, sounds like a rough ride, you know, if they didn't get the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it's, you know, we understand salvation, you're enduring to the end. And then maybe, you know, they made it to heaven as a 30-fold, you know, believer, I guess you could say. I don't know if that makes sense or is there something else there?
I think, and I believe.
Yeah.
Denny's on the right track. I'm just trying to be devil's advocate here to get some discussion.
Yeah.
But the 30-fold ministry, you remember it talks about the stars in heaven. The stars in heaven is the 30-fold ministry. And there were some that fell, right? Was it a third of them that fell? Okay. Then that could be represented of the 30-fold, and like Denny was talking about, the outer court also would have some that were fallen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Those that didn't fall are those that are running after the Lord with all their heart, with what they know right now, you know. And they might just be, and they're those type of people are going to go into captivity. But they're not going to deny the Lord, and they'll be, you know, martyred or whatever. But anyway, that's just something to add to that. What about going from the outer court to Pentecost? How do you figure that one out? And I'm just throwing these things out there so we can get somebody to tell me what I'm looking at here. Don't make me call somebody. Don't make me do that. the 60-fold, which would be, as Denny was talking about, the holy place, right? Okay. And then we have the Holy of Holies, which we know is the 100-fold fruit. So, how do we know we're at the 60-fold? And I'm just going to throw something out there. Is it that we have conquered the flesh at 60-fold? No? Missy says no. Why, Missy? Why you say no? Now, you knew I was going to do that.
Well, if it's 60-fold, that means you still have some flesh.
Well, wait a minute. A while ago, you said 100-fold is...
100-fold is no flesh. It's all Jesus. So how can 60-fold be without the flesh?
Somebody said 100-fold was when you got the glorified body and the soul was defeated. Oh, the flesh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. The flesh is... The flesh is completely defeated, and you have 100-fold fruit of Jesus. There was a thought that came to my mind, then I lost it.
I'm sorry.
Help, Lord.
Amen.
Stop. Thank you, Lord.
Well, listen. I've heard David say this. He says that the 100-fold, you're not going to be 100, completely 100-fold until you get the glorified body. Has anybody ever heard him say that? Shake your head yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I could go down there and ask him, but I ain't going to. I'm just going to stick with what I know. Okay. I don't know. I don't. Well, just think about it. If it's 100-fold, you have a glorified soul, right? What is mind, will, and emotions? Your mind, your will, and your emotions have been taken over by the Lord Jesus Christ, right? The Spirit of God has taken that over. But you're still not at 100-fold because your flesh, your natural body is still attached to your spirit. And you won't be 100-fold until your body is glorified. Hi, Julie. Your body is glorified when you go up to meet the Lord in the air. Now, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Somebody else got a better answer, go ahead on. I want to listen. What y'all think? Yeah, Julie. Julie's got the answer. Praise God. Fresh meat.
I have an answer. I don't know about the 100-fold, but what came to my mind is you guys were talking. I just got in here a few minutes ago and you're talking, so I don't know what you're all discussing entirely before that. But when you said about what 60-fold, and if you're talking about the stars, the moon, and the sun, the moon being 60-fold, that's a dead star. It's no longer in its own self-righteousness and look at me, I got to be heard and I got to be seen and all that stuff. And I know everything. And you're dead, dead to a lot of things. You're overcoming. But what was coming to me was the moon. When you look at the moon, there's different phases of the moon. As far as reflecting the sun, as far as like where the earth is in the flesh, the earth is in reflecting back, you know, what you see. So I was just thinking maybe like, you know, you're growing and you're overcoming. So you're growing, but you're reflecting more of the sun as the earth is no longer shadowing and in the way, you know what? I don't know how I'm making myself real clear here, but you're seeing different parts of the moon phases during the month. So yeah, it's just
quarter moon, half moon, three,
right, moon. Right. So it's like as we're a dead star and you know, a dead star is just reflecting the glory of the Lord. It's not but it's coming into sun glory and growing in its maturity. Does that make sense? Did I?
Well, I have one question is all, and I'm just trying to keep this thing going here. If moon glory, the difference between moon glory and sun glory is that the moon reflects the sun, right? Okay. At what point do you become the sun over here?
God knows.
Good answer, Jim.
I don't know. It's in here what's going on, but, you know, yeah. 30, 60, and 100, that's, you know, there's a difference of 30, and then 40. So, I don't know.
Okay. Let me get George.
Go ahead. Know the answer, Mike, Michael?
Of course I do.
I just want to see how smart everybody else is, right?
No, I'm learning too, Jim.
Okay.
All right, George, go ahead.
I'm thinking of just who is in control. If your flesh, the Bible says that wars and jealousies and all these things come from our flesh. And if our flesh is in control, then we've got minimal glory there, obviously. If our mind is renewed and our mind is guided by the word and our decision-making comes from the word and what we can pull from the word, then I would say that would be like a 60-fold or a ruling from a different center. But then when our spirit man controls the flesh and the mind, then I would think that would be, you know, in communion with God and only doing what he says and what we see him doing and saying. And I think that is the ultimate goal is to renew our mind, to subject, put our flesh into subjection and to let everything and all of our motives be guided from the Spirit and to be in tune and led by the Spirit. And probably only when we get those other two under control can we truly be led by the Spirit in fullness.
Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
I was just thinking, it's like, well, when you ask what's the difference and how do you get from moon glory to sun glory, I don't think we can do much after death until we get like some kind of anointing in there to overcome all that other stuff and just, you know, that throne experience that the bride and, you know, the man child and the bride are going to get. How else are you going to get there? So you're going to have some kind of, you know, that latter day, you know, anointing, the rain coming.
Okay.
Because if you're dead, you're dead. I mean, we're all dead, you know, to sin and alive unto God, and he's the one doing the work. And I mean, we can't do it ourselves. It's just, it's a progressive thing of coming into that perfection of completely dead. We're absolutely nothing can offend you anymore. You're dead. Mm-hmm. And you're only speaking the, you know, as an oracle of God, and you're only hearing, doing as God does. And as you hear in your mind, your heart, the word of God, and by this, falling by the Spirit only, where the flesh is totally, has no more power over your mind, will, or emotions. That's only done by the Lord through the anointing. It's complete submission.
Absolute surrender, huh? Okay, let me get Tim here. He's been up here for a while.
Well, when I think of 100-fold manifestation, and it talks about the priests and the high priests and the duties of the priests, and when you manifest the Lord Jesus, you become the high priest, and his duties are the service of the Day of Atonement when he entered the Holy of Holies, offering for the sins of the priest and the nation with blood. So that would be when you enter the Holy of Holies as a complete manifestation of Jesus as a high priest, when you can cross that barrier. And I would think that would be the 100-fold manifestation of the fruit. Because then you can, when you're in the presence of God, because you've manifested the Son.
Okay, go ahead, Sid. I'll get you in a minute, Joe. She's had her hand up quite a while.
Okay. I just have food for thought on this. I kept getting this thought about when Jesus was in the wilderness and how he had to overcome in the wilderness with the devil. And I was thinking that there's three points in there, you know. The lust of the flesh, he had the man does not live by bread alone. Trying to remember the lust of the eyes. If you know, he could have whatever he, you know, the whole, I'm trying to remember the sequences, but it fits those three: lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. I would think that the pride of life would be the last thing that we have to deal with to, you know, like you were mentioning about how we just totally give ourselves to the Lord and totally serve him, like Jesus had said to the devil that, you know, we only serve God, you know, not him, not the devil or anything. Because if we serve man, we're serving the devil. So, I mean, but that's what came to me about the wilderness experience. Because once he got done with the wilderness experience, he went out there to minister to God, you know, to go out there and do signs and wonders and, you know, all that. Anyway, that's it.
Okay. All right, go ahead, Joe.
I was going to try to answer your question. You're saying where, you know, tying together a couple things that Andrew, Julie, and George said, you know, from moon to sun glory, it seems like, well, I mean, as you said, Julie, I was going to say it first there, the moon's a dead rock pretty much, you know, it reflects the sun. You know, it's dead. It's not alive. You know, I remember we had that talk about the stars, the moon, and the sun glory. And so it's like, I guess, too, like what you said, Andrew, there's a quarter half moon, you know, three-fourths and a full. I guess to what degree you're dead, you know, that's what you – wait. Oh, no, I mean, I guess, you know, you're from, like, when you're fully dead, that's when I guess – I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's so much true, but I sense, well, that's when you begin sun glory. You know, and I mean, as George said, you know, I mean, who's ruling, you know, as the Holy Spirit, I mean, when the flesh is totally dead, or I mean, it has manifested, you know, it's no longer in control. You know, I mean, it sounds like that's to what degree you are in sun glory. You know, you manifest the sun, you know, because, I mean, we know he was totally dead. I mean, he was led by the Spirit, you know, and so, is, I mean, that's our job. You know, to what degree the flesh rules. Sounds like that's what you're still in 60-fold, you know, because the moon being a dead rock, you know, you're not really part of that sun glory because, you know, you still have some flesh operating that you need to deal with. So it seems like, you know, it comes in degrees. So I don't know. Maybe that answers it to an extent or maybe not, but it sounds like when you're dead, you know, then you reach sun glory, and then I guess to what degree you allow, you know, the Holy Spirit to lead you, you know, that's how much you manifest. So I don't know. Maybe it is in degrees, or maybe it's fully or not. So I thought I'd throw that out there.
Okay. Go ahead, Judy.
I had another thought when Sue mentioned something about the wilderness. When you go from 30 to 60, that's 30. And then from 60 to 100, that's 40. 40 is the wilderness. And we've all been called to, as type and shadow, to take the promised land, and just overcoming everything of the soul through our own personal wilderness and in taking our land. And that's done, and that was done in the wilderness. Take our land, take our inheritance, inherit everything that God has for us, whatever the hundredfold is for us. All that Christ is, and apprehending it all while we go through our wilderness and destroy all those fleshy stuff in the wilderness, all those eye guys out there. In the wilderness, we have to overcome all those kinsmen.
All in my heart. Okay. Anybody else? So, go ahead, George.
I was also thinking it's kind of deciding on what reality we want to plug into, because we know we've got family responsibilities and jobs and things on the flesh level sometimes that we, you know, the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches, those type of things that keep us from plugging totally into God. And then you get the statistics of the world and the facts of, yes, I woke up with whatever trying to attack me, and the world trying to get you to come into agreement with its facts. But then we have the Word of God, the truth that trumps those facts. And then we have the real reality that we are seated in heavenly places with God, that we have a position, and that we died in Christ, and we no longer live, but Christ lives in us. That means there is no more I, there is no me. So all of these selfish motives and these I, me, me type actions have to really be crucified. And I was driving to work this morning, that's what I was thinking about, is that the reality is there is no me. We're not to know any man after the flesh. So that means my family and acquaintances from the old man shouldn't even recognize me as existing anymore, because I died in Christ and it's no longer I that live. And my explanation to them should be on that level if I could get that message across. But more than anything, I have to walk in love so that the Holy Spirit ministers that to them without me having to tell them. And that's kind of the goal I had this morning, was to kind of put that in reality. So that's what I had.
Are you talking about by showing rather than telling? Dave had his hand up. Go ahead, Dave.
Well, I had a couple things here I'm thinking about. Well, the manifestation of Moon Glory is definitely reflecting the sun. We know that. And everybody commented that, you know, the moon is dead, but it's reflecting Jesus. It's reflecting the sun. So, I mean, we're at that level of maturity, we can say. So that death to self has happened in a lot of ways. And now we're just constantly reflecting what we can of what Jesus we've got to others and to ourselves. And not that we're totally dead, because David mentioned this, and I think I'm kind of in agreement on that. You know, there's many parts to the body. And so we're not all going to look alike. Jesus is a multifaceted individual as far as how he appears. That's why we have so many different members in the body here. So we're not all going to have, like, I can't look at Joe and say, hey, I look like Joe because he's like Jesus, because we can look in a mirror and see there's definitely a difference. But reality is, in our inside, we have Jesus Christ in us, but the way we are individually stands out also. But it doesn't make us any less of Christ. All right. So there's many people in the body of Christ. There's going to be many looks of the body of Christ, but there's still going to be Jesus. Then we take it to the next level, and we're going to see sun glory. What is sun glory? Well, you know, Jesus talked about the Father gave him life, and now he's got the life to give to others. That life came from the Father. That's where he got his life. And when he was on the earth, everything he did and said, he was getting from the Father. He wasn't doing anything on his own. He was totally submitted to the Father, and he had total communion with the Father. But he had this, that's the communion he had with the Father. That's the communion we're going to have at sun glory, with Jesus and the Father. That's a communion that's beyond moon glory. It's beyond just reflecting who we are in Jesus. It's manifested Jesus. Total manifestation of Jesus, and the communion's there too. Totally being led by the Spirit of God. And submission and obedience. Everything we say and do is in agreement with the Lord. That's going to be the star glory. I mean, the sun glory at that point. When somebody reaches that point, they are actually Jesus Christ in the flesh. Now, did they replace Jesus? By no means, no. Jesus is, you know, the firstborn of all creation. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But if anybody's going to become, like Jesus said, it's if you're going to become like anything, you become like your teacher. We'll become just like Jesus in every aspect. But again, we're part of the body. We all have different appearances. We all have different functions. We all act and think differently on things, but we're still manifested the body of Christ. That's kind of how I'm seeing this.
Hmm. Okay, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
Well, from a printer's point of view, like I work for a print company. I used to do printing with ink on paper. But here, you know, there's a verse here, and I think it's when God's finished writing upon your heart. And what he writes upon your heart is not with ink, and it's not engraved in stone, but it's the living God's spirit when it's finished. When he's finished writing there, everything that can be written there upon your heart. Because there's living there, which is, Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So there's all the living there and all the spirit there. So that's all written with some very holy ink upon your heart. And that's, I don't know what kind of color ink that is. You know, you get all these different colors in the print shop. But this is a real interesting way of, and how it clings to your heart and inside of you, to have this living God's spirit written upon your heart. And of course, I like what it says after that. It says, and such confidence have we through the Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to account anything as from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient. And of course, there is as ministers of a new covenant. You know, that covenant over there in Hebrews, you know, in 8, there's going to be a day where you're not going to have to ask questions anymore. And I think that's when it's all written there. I don't know. That's the way, you know, the sufficiency comes, you know. The Holy Spirit comes upon you and he puts stuff in your mind. You know, he gives you an answer. You know, he sends the comforter, the Holy Spirit, in his name. He's going to teach you all things and he's going to remind you of all things. And how close does that come to the law of liberty? And where the Spirit of the Lord is liberty. So that's the verse right before everyone likes to quote here, you know, but we all with an unveiled face behold in the mirror of the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit, and we are discussing glory here. So that, I don't, a pen of light, I don't know, you know, he's got to write that spirit and life upon your heart. Got to be there. And, you know, it's got to come out of your mouth. You have to see it. You have to hear it. It's got to be in your mind. You know, I'm sure there's verses popping in your head from all this, because they're coming in my head. So
okay. Yeah, Missy.
What Dave said kind of prompted something. I, if I recall correctly, David talking about, you know, like Dave was saying, you know, we're all different members of the body, and we have a different function. And verse that came to me, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And okay, so let's just say my function is to be a hand, let's say, okay, well, that function is also what's coming to me is, I remember David talking about calling. The Lord has a calling on your life. He has a certain plan for you, how he's going to use you. In other words, that's kind of related to being a hand, you know, what the function of a hand. So, and being led by the Spirit of God and completing the calling that the Lord has on you, for you, that particular person. It's not just coming into the image of Jesus, that's or bearing the fruit of Jesus, hundredfold fruit of Jesus. It's more specific than that. It's completing the calling that the Lord, his plan he has for you, for your life in his kingdom here on this earth, and the job, you could say, the job the Lord has for you to do. In whatever ministry, I guess you could say, the Lord has for you, no matter how little or how big, you know, for instance, you know, just something real simple, you know, maybe the Lord's calling on you is, just to be a great to spit out, Missy. Your gift is, let's say, hospitality or whatever. That, you know, you provide hospitality. Your doors are always open, and you feed spiritually and physically those whoever in your house, you know. Just I'm just trying to think of something real simple, but just completing the calling and really the completing that calling really is my thought is when you get to the point where everything that you do, you know, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, everything that you do in serving others and serving the Lord is not of your flesh at all, but it's by the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit. So that's just kind of some things that came to me, but as I was speaking was coming to me to kind of how to explain it. Anyway, that's just so.
Okay. Go ahead. Are you through, Missy?
I think so.
Okay. Go ahead, Sid.
Okay. You know, I was just before Missy spoke, I was thinking about this similar thing that she was thinking about, you know, about how, you know, we all have a different function. And but I was thinking of the body itself, our physical body itself. It, the only way that it lives is by the blood. And Christ is the blood that we need to live through. But each one of us have a function in this body, and but it can't function by itself. And in John 17, where he says, Father, I wish that they would be one as you and I are one. And then there's another scripture that comes to my mind where every joint supplies, you know. And I mean, we have to do that. We have to know our calling individually, but then we got to come together and be that, have that oneness. And that made me think about Kurt, how Kurt always was, we need to be one, you know, and to fully operate in Christ for us, every joint to supply, that's the maturity. A scripture in Ephesians, I think it says that's the maturity, till we all arrive, till we all come to that maturity where each joint supplies. So I would think that would be related to, you know, when that happens, that it would be related to the sun glory. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, I'm done.
Okay. David, I believe you had your hand up.
Yeah, briefly. I did look up glory and glorify the definition. I looked it up earlier this week, too, because I got through John. And Jesus talked about when he was, he said, Father, he wanted to go back into the glory he had when he, before he came into the earth, just before he left, he was praying to the Father in the garden about going back into that glory and being renewed with that glory from the Father. And I looked up because I wondered what did he mean by glory, you know, because that is a different term we're not used to understanding. But with the Greek was just basically the honor. He talks about this glory, this esteem, but also it talks about an unspoken manifestation of God in splendor. So there's something there with the God in you that's going to be coming out, definitely, but it's some kind of an honor and a splendor there that's a manifestation of God. And that's something Jesus had in heaven that he didn't fully have here. He wasn't showing here. And when he did come and present himself to the disciples, of course, he probably didn't. He toned it down, because I know that I've heard testimonies of people seeing Jesus in different ways, and depending upon how he presented himself, he could be just this very glorious person you could hardly look on, or he could be a meek, humble individual, so that you could receive who he was at the, when you, depending on where you're at. Because his glory level, yeah, if he was to manifest his full glory, it might be very hard for us to even imagine even trying to look at, but trying to look at God, it'd be like that, it'd be that at that point. So this glory that he's talking about, and even in them, when they had the transfiguration, they talked about him coming to some kind of a glory and he's shown. So I was kind of referencing also what Andrew has to say. So understanding what this glory means, it's a manifestation of God, actually. It's a splendor of God that we're seeing.
Okay, go ahead, Julie.
Something that when Sue and Missy were talking about that, the body parts and stuff, what was coming to my mind was the parable that Jesus gave in Matthew 25 about the talents, that when he left on his journey, this man left on his journey, he called his servants and entrusted them his property. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his ability. And the ones that, you know, came and, you know, came back when he returned and came and said, here, I've made you 5 talents. And the other one, here, I've made you 2 talents. They each brought back, you know, exactly what they had been given. They, it was to be, that's 100-fold either way. You know, it's just whatever we've been given to do, like Missy said, you know, you fulfilled your purpose and what God called you to do, you know, and what he's given you to do. And that's coming into, I believe, you know, the manifesting the 100-fold fruit, whatever it is, perfection as God sees us as perfected in his sight, what he's given us to do, that's perfect. That's it.
Okay. I mean, all right, here we are. So, I have another question. Y'all have come up with some interesting stuff, and I believe it's all part of the truth. It's all good and good stuff. What's the difference between talking about the where people are, what level they are? What's the difference between the man child and the bride? What's the difference between the man child and the bride? Is he at 100-fold? Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
I'm not sure about your answer, but I was thinking about if you take a fruit of 50, 60, 100-fold, I was tying the same as with sun, the stars, the moon, and the sun. The stars will be 50%, the moon will be 60%, and the sun will be 100%. But I'm taking that to the marriage. I would think the same as the guest will be about 30%. I think the bride will have a groom's friend, and the virgins will be 60%, and I think a bride will be 60%. That's the way I'm thinking about it. Not say it's right, but it's the way I'm thinking about it.
Okay. What's the difference between the man child and the bride? Go ahead, Judy. Here comes the answer, y'all. Listen.
My thought, and you know, it would be that the man child's manifesting the 100-fold fruit, even though you don't see him in his glorified body. He's already overcome the flesh, and the bride just hasn't manifested the 100-fold fruit yet. It's just, you know, the bride's still being, you know, perfected. and still, okay. And you know, the disciples were the bride, right? He who has the bride is the bride. You know, he has the bride is the bridegroom, and Jesus called his disciples at that time. They were looking for the Messiah, and he called them, and they dropped everything that they were doing, their livelihoods, and left their homes, their families, and followed the Lord. And he was training them up to do exactly what he did. So, you know, they had a lot of issues when the Lord called them when he came the first time. You know, the disciples had a lot of stuff that they had to overcome. So, where they weren't perfected yet when he called them, but he chose them.
Okay. Go ahead, Leah.
The difference in the bride and the man-child is the man-child gets called up to heaven and the bride doesn't, so he manifests more. And then he teaches the bride what he's learned from going to heaven and from being called up. And then the two of them work on the woman, which is the church.
Yeah, you got a real low volume, but I think I got most of what you said.
Okay. All right. Let me get a little closer.
Okay.
the man-child gets caught up into heaven, and then he comes
to the throne room.
Huh?
He gets caught up to the throne room. That's right.
Right. And then whatever the Lord reveals to him there, he comes back and teaches to the bride. And then the two of them take the woman into the wilderness. That's the church. And they start teaching them. So that's about all I have.
Okay. Yeah, the man-child takes the bride into the tribulation. And Leon's right. There is a throne room experience that the man-child has that the bride doesn't have, but there's another thing involved there, too. One more thing that's involved. And I know y'all know what it is. It's the latter rain anointing to the first fruits man-child. And that latter rain anointing to the first fruits man-child gives the man-child ministry that listening to Jesus experience, or listening to the Father experience that Jesus had, walking on earth, listening to everything that the Father was telling him to do. He didn't do nothing what the Father didn't tell him to do. That's the way the man-child's going to be walking on earth. He's not going to do anything other than what the Father tells him. He's going to be walking in that anointing, that latter-day anointing. And all of you have kind of hit on that a little bit. But yeah, it's going to be the anointing that makes the difference between the man-child and the bride. But check this out. As the man-child teaches the bride, the anointing will come on those that, you know, start losing that flesh. You start getting away from the world, even more so than they are now, you know. And then there will be more man-child. There's a second fruits man-child coming out as well. So, I think we all are right in the difference between, or in the difference between us. I don't know. I've heard David say that the hundredfold fruit is when our bodies are glorified. So, I don't know. I haven't made a real deep study into that. I just figure if it happens, it happens. What about Elijah and Enoch? Were they at a hundredfold?
How about Melchizedek?
Melchizedek, there's another one. don't know a whole lot about that guy, but he was definitely a first fruit, it looked like.
I think Enoch and Elijah, reached 100, were 100 fold on this earth. That's why they were able to be taken up the way they were.
Okay. What about Moses? I'm just throwing things out there now. You remember when he come down off the mountain, they couldn't even look at him. He was glowing so good. Now, he was at a throne room experience, too. And he is a type and a shadow of a man-child. And ain't nobody found his body yet, has he? Mm-hmm. That's something else to think about. I tell you what, we're going to know all this stuff one of these days. We're going to have to sit down with the man-child when he gets here, and we're just going to have to hash all this stuff out on him. Amen. Okay, what else?
We all have to wait to that last trump.
There you go.
We have to wait to the last trump, then we'll all know.
Yep. Amen.
We'll all be changed in a twinkling of an eye.
Yep. We'll all go up to meet the Lord in the air together. Praise the Lord.
Do we have the first trump or the last trump right now?
It definitely ain't the last trump. Yeah.
We're coming into the phase of the first trump with Trump.
Trump. Oh my, we could get all messed up here. The trumpet has sounded and is sounding. Every day, just look at the tweets. Oh my, okay. What else do we need to take care of? We still got a little time here. Yeah, Denny, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, what Leon shared about the man-child being caught up to the throne. But I remember David teaching that the bride is also called up to the throne to sit with the man child at the wedding ceremony, at the wedding, when they become one. So the bride also sits on the throne.
Is that before or after the tribulation? Go ahead, Missy. She's going to venture out. Let her venture out, Denny.
I don't know. I think it's after mm-hmm. the tribulation.
Yeah, the
I think are you talking about when the man-child gets caught up for the anointing of the latter rain? I think that happens before the tribulation, and doesn't the bride then get the former rain and anointing at the same time?
It's not the latter rain. The bride doesn't get the latter rain for a while yet.
No, I said the former rain.
I know, but Denny was talking about the same thing that the man-child gets.
We don't get quite as much as the...
Well, I think if my memory serves me, and it does, because I've been delivered, praise God, mm-hmm. that the latter rain anointing goes on to the first fruits man child first, and the former rain comes to its fullest to the bride, mm-hmm. into its fullest measure on the bride. Does that make sense to y'all? Now, I'm going to give you Michael's opinion. This is not like it's law. I'm going to give you my Arkansas opinion as to what this means. The former rain, in my humble Arkansas opinion, is the power of God in full measure, just like it was at Pentecost. And just opinion, the latter rain anointing is the combination of the power of God and the Julie, you could have said a lot of things other than say that tonight. Anyway, the man child, in my opinion again, is the latter rain is the wisdom of God and the power of God. Because why? Because the man child is listening to the Father. What are y'all putting on that chat thing?
Okay, and I gotta say that witnesses with my spirit what you said about wisdom, because Jesus was the wisdom of God, right?
Yes, he was. Yep. Yeah. Not only that, the man child knows all. The man child's going to know all. He's listening to the Lord, right? He's listening to the Lord in every step he takes, just like Jesus. Jesus said, "I don't do nothing that the Father tells me to do." You know. So that's just my opinion. That's what I'm thinking. It's my good old logical thinking. Has anybody got any other thing that, you know, that would dispute what I just said? I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to change if you got scripture to back it up. I'm just saying. Hey, Fudgesicle. What do you think, Leanne? Okay. Where in the scheme of things, in this bride, man, child, and then what's the third tier? Maids of honors and all, excuse me, virgins and all of those kind. They're next, aren't they? Did you know that the bride, once it's picked, there's no more able to come in? Once the bride is picked, that's it. The door's closed for the bride. Nobody else can be in the bride after the Lord closes that door. So it's best to go ahead and get rid of the whole flesh and the world out of your system now. Allow the Lord to work that out of you real quick. And look, y'all have seen it already, and I've seen it just in the last week and a half, 2 weeks, is that his grace is man, it's just gone sky high. I mean, he's got a lot of grace. People are getting freed up. He wants people in the bride. And those that are willing to believe and get in, they're getting in it. They're getting in it. Praise God. It's awesome. It's awesome to watch. We had a couple in today that I was so glad to see get freed up. Praise God. A brother and a sister. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. We're about out of time. Look at here. Man, we're almost out of time. All right, anybody got any prayer requests before we close out tonight? It's been a good discussion. I enjoyed it. You got something, Malcolm?
Michael?
Yeah, Denny?
Was Wade and Jeanette, were they going to do something yet tonight, or was he going to wait till next time? I think he was going to make a list, or?
You'd have to ask him. Wade, was she going to make a list?
Time, I guess.
Okay. What you want to do that? What's today? Today, Tuesday.
Thursday.
Yeah. Okay. So you want to do that next Tuesday?
Hopefully, yes.
Okay. All right. All right, brother.
Thank you.
All right. Lord, we just thank you for another good night. We just praise you, Father, that you're going to straighten our thinking out here. We can hash this stuff around, and it's fun to do that and to speculate as to what this is or what that is. But Father, we just love you and thank you for straightening our old lives out. You're helping us to get rid of that old luggage we've been carrying around so many years, that old packages and stuff that's been hanging off of us. Lord, we thank you for knocking it off and freeing us up and quit dragging that old ball and chain around again. And Father, I just praise you for setting us all free. It's just awesome to watch. And Lord, I just ask and pray that you'd be with each one of us and help us to keep that armor of God on so that the enemy can't get back in. And Lord, and if people needs help, Lord, just place it in their hearts to give us a call. And Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bless everybody here over the weekend with a great time with you, Lord. Place it in our hearts to be praying for one another. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Good night, everybody. Hey, Willie.